Well, I'd like to give everyone a very warm welcome to our service this morning. Great privilege for us to be together, to be able to worship God, to hear from his word. So hopefully we have a sense of anticipation as we join together. But I know that we can sometimes come from different circumstances and in different frames of mind. Maybe you come with a lot of joy. Well, that's good. Maybe you come with a sense of sorrow and a heavy heart. That would be the case for many. Well, both are there in our first song that we're going to sing in a minute, and find comfort and refuge in the faithfulness of God. And it set my mind to Lamentations 3, which is written in dark times, but which also focuses on the faithfulness of God. So let me just read a few verses as a sort of run-up to our first song. So Lamentations 3, remember my affliction, verse 19, and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So shall we join together and sing our first song, which is, Lord, I come before your throne of grace. I find rest in your presence and fullness of joy.
Caleb 2, part 2. He's a bit older this time. But I thought for the sake of you who weren't here last week, we'd do a bit of a recap. before the reading. Or for those of you who were here last week and have promptly forgotten, we'll do a bit of a recap, just of the story, not of all the key points, but just of the story, so that when we hear the reading and then when we go into the sermon, hopefully you've just got a little bit of sort of necessary background. You may remember that God rescues his people from slavery in Egypt. So, led by Moses, God leads the people of Israel out from slavery from Egypt, and they go through the Red Sea. You may remember that miracle. They go through the Red Sea, and they go into the wilderness. And after nearly 2 years, he brings them to the promised land. This is the land that he promised Moses, and it's a really special land. Spies are sent out to go and scout out this land, go and have a look at the people, go and have a look at the cities, what's it like. And they come back and they say, it's amazing. It's incredible. The food is so good. They bring this massive cluster of grapes back. But they also say it's too dangerous to go in. They say there are giants in there. And the cities are far too strong to go into this land. There's no way we can do it. And it describes their hearts as melting. And they all just say they are stronger than us. And so they don't go in. And they spend the night crying. But Caleb says, come on, we can surely beat them. Now, he wasn't just a sort of naive optimist that kind of didn't really understand the issues. He'd been in there. He'd seen everything too. But he said, come on, we can surely do it. God will give it to us. Barbara describes Caleb as having a different spirit. He had a different spirit. He was different to the others. And at the end, God promises Caleb part of the land. We see that in Deuteronomy 1, where God says, because you have followed me, I will give you part of the land. And Caleb never forgets this promise. And this is kind of what we come back to as we go into the reading, that Caleb's remembering this promise that he's held on to from God, that God's going to give him part of the land. So hopefully that recap has just helped you a little bit with the story today. Thanks, John.
Well, I haven't caught up properly on part one yet, but I'm looking forward to part two. And we're going to read the reading that Mark's going to talk from, especially. And it's in Joshua, and it's chapter 14. It's page 190 in the church Bibles. Starting at 189, starting at verse 6. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said. Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave him Hebron. And he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. And then we have a couple of extra verses in the next chapter, so chapter 15 and verses 13 and 14. According to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, he gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, a portion among the people of Judah. Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron. Arba was the father of Anak. And Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak. And he went up from there against the inhabitants of Debir. So we look forward to hearing more from that later on. At this point, I just wanted to feedback a little bit from Rosie Crowther. Charity of the Month has been in thinking of Rosie out in Papua New Guinea, and overnight she sent some prayer points. I wanted to read some of them and then to pray for Rosie and also for James and Rachel, our other, another of our great missionary concerns at this point in the service. So Rosie says, please pray for the church at Belimo. I've just finished teaching 40 leaders on unity in the church. The church there is divided and disunited with many factions, jealousy, fighting over positions. Please pray the men will put into practice what they heard as they return to their families and churches. The plan is to start men's fellowships in their local churches and go through the training book. Praise God, the women are having the same course. Pray God will change hearts and lives and things will be put right. This Gogadala tribe were the first to receive the good news in 1931. Some of them then went as missionaries to other tribes, including Rumgane, that's where Rosie was based before. It's sad they are now weak, proud and divided by wrong teaching and fighting each other. She adds, pray for Marzay's family as it took just 1 year since God took him. His wife is still blaming others and causing problems for the church and community. Pray for my dear friend Jennifer, who is scheduled for a mastectomy on Tuesday. Please pray that God might heal her, and whatever the outcome, he will get glory. So there's some prayer points from Rosie, and I'll try and remember some of them in prayer. Shall we pray now over our mission concerns? Lord, we come to you as Lord over the whole earth, and it just is so vast, and there are billions, and minds just go to the areas, the concerns, the links that we have. And so we do pray for Rose's situation there and the influence she seeks to have on the church in Papua New Guinea. And particularly we pray for the effect of the training that's been given to these leaders on unity in the church, and which will be given to the ladies as well. Lord, we do pray that that tribe, which was a real shining light at the beginning of the gospel going to Papua New Guinea, may show again love and unity, that there may be healing and forgiveness, that the divisiveness that there seems to be may be diffused, that they might be of one mind in the Lord. We know that the church should reflect the unity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in a great oneness and unity which points to your glory. We're sad where that has dropped off, and we pray then for the effect of this training, the follow-on book, and the things that are acted on, that that might be for your glory in those areas. Well, we do pray for Rosie in her many concerns, the notes that she's often writing up, the influence she looks to have on the training strategies in the church network that she's connected with. the youth training and the influence on the women as well. Help her in her last stint there to be of real use and to be able to encourage things which have a good legacy for your honour and glory. And we pray over some of the individual concerns that she has for Pastor Marseille's wife and for Jennifer in their circumstances that they're in. Lord, give peace and contentment and healing, we pray. And as we think of Rosie, we also pray for James and Rachel now over in the UK. And James involved with services today. We ask that you would bless him and encourage him, help him in this period as they seek to get a balance between family connections, especially with Rachel's parents and their own children. And they try and balance that out with some times with the churches who support them and time back here. We pray that the blend may be good, that it may be to their encouragement, it may be to the support and prayer of the work. And we ask for your blessing upon them. Do use this period for good. And we pray for the church back there in Lefkosia, for those covering in this period, that it may be a blessed time, that your word may be multiplied, that your church may grow, that it may be peace, that they may be holiness. So we commit them and the situation in Cyprus to you. We pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we sing together now our second song. Our second song is When I Fear My Faith Will Fail. The secret behind sustained faith we see as we sing this song together.
Thank you. the children want to would like to come up for the children's talk. Excellent. Good. Well, hello. Come and find a seat. Brilliant. Well, so our subject we're going to look at today. See, Harvey, move up a bit. You move up a bit, and then Jenny can sit on the end. We can sit there any other way if you want. Our subject today is I'll leave it to you, Tim. Oh, do they? Oh, okay, fine. Brilliant. Dead or alive? Dead or alive? So, got a little test.
What have we got in here today?
What do you reckon? Dead or alive? What do you reckon? Dead. Dead, yes, absolutely. Dead. Right, next one. Annie. Dead or alive? What have you got in there? What is it? What do you think it is? Is it dead or alive?
Alive.
Alive, yeah, a wood lice. In fact, we've got a few more here. What else we got in here? Oh, look at that. Oh, what we got in there? Worm, dead or alive? There's an earwig in there. Are you brave enough to push the earwig around? Where? There he is. Oh, look at those big pincers he's got ready. Can you see the earwig? Dead or alive? I wouldn't want to touch the earwig because I know it's alive. And I know what those pincers can do. So, yeah, we've got three animals in there. Look, the worm's on a ride. He's coming for... Oh, dead or alive? Now, what else have we got in here? Oh, got some more leaves. Would you like a leaf? Anyone a leaf? Would you like one? Yeah. Would you like one, Elle? Yeah. You don't want, do you, Molly? Or do you? No. Right, question is, would you like a leaf? Yeah, of course you would. Thank you very much. The question is, I'm going to get another leaf. That was a bit eaten. Dead or alive? Is your leaf dead or alive? What do we think, Elle?
Alive.
You think your leaf's alive? Brilliant. Okay. What do you think, Harvey? Alive? What do you reckon? Alive or dead? Alive? Does anyone think it's dead? We all think it's alive.
Yeah.
All think it's alive. Shall we ask everyone round about us? Shall we see what they say? Shall we ask, hands up if you think this leaf is dead? Yeah, got some hands there. Let's ask them if they think it's alive too. Hands up, is it alive? Oh, not so many. Got a couple. Yeah, I've got a couple. Actually, this leaf is dead and alive. It's alive because God, in an amazing thing, the way he designs it, it's sucking the light in and it's converting the light to sugar. And then the sugar is then goes to feed the plant. But is it attached to the plant? No. So really, what's going to happen to it? What's going to happen to this leaf? It's going to die, isn't it? So at the moment, yeah, it's sucking in light, it's converting it to sugar, and it's going to go and feed the plant, but there's no plant, so it will die. So this leaf is dead and alive. And I thought you could take it home and try it at home. Would you like to take it home and try it at home? I've brought you in one of these. Do you know what these are? What are they, Elle? Daffodils. Brilliant. Yeah, daffodils. Who would like to take a daffodil home? Yeah? And what you've got to do when you get home with it is you've got to put it in some water. And if you put it in some water, this is what happens to them. Look, there's a screen with some daffodils on it. They'll come out, won't they? But are these daffodils dead or alive?
Alive.
Yeah, well, they're alive. And hopefully, if you put them into water, they'll come out with a nice, yellow flower. And that'd be beautiful, wouldn't it? Jenny, would you like one as you've come to sit up here? There we are, you take one. In fact, you can have the rest of them. There we are. So, yeah. But what will happen in a little while? Oh, look. They're going to die. They're going to die. So, actually, whilst they're alive at the moment, they will die once they've flowered. Now, here comes a tricky question. Are you dead or alive? Are you dead or alive? Put your hands up if you think you're alive. Don't look at each other. Absolutely, you are all alive, aren't they? And if one of you had stuck your fingers in by the earwig and got pinched, we'd have known you were alive. But are you dead as well? Are you dead as well? You are, yeah, you are. So the Bible says, we have a Bible verse in Ephesians chapter 2. Would someone be willing to read that out nice and loudly? Go ahead, Harvey, nice and loudly. Absolutely. All of us, we were spiritually dead because of the things we did wrong against God. And everyone in this room has done something wrong against God. And that means that we were dead spiritually. Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, did they die straight away? They didn't, did they? But they died spiritually. Their relationship with God died. But, it's a wonderful but, God gives us new life in Christ. And there are many people in this room that have got new life because of what Jesus has done. And it would be our prayer that you would come alive spiritually too. And Jesus, in John chapter 10 and verse 10, he said this, I have come to give life. I have come to give life. And I think it carries on and said, and to give life abundantly. Not just a little bit, not just a stingy bit. I've only given you one daffodil. That's a bit stingy, isn't it? Yeah? But Jesus wants to give us life, lots of it. So just remember, when that daffodil goes into the pot of water at home and it flowers nicely, it's going to die. But Jesus has come to give life so that we can, when we die, we will go to heaven to be with him. You can go back to your seats. And well done for listening so well.
Thank you, and you have a reminder of what the talk was about. You're taking it home with you, so that's helpful, isn't it? Well, the title is going to be later on, Still Going Strong at 85, and Annie's still going strong at 90. You had your 90th birthday yesterday, which is a special time, but she's also going west. Annie goes to Bridport this week. She's moving, so we shall be very sad to not have you with us anymore, Annie, and I do want to pray about that amongst other things in our time of prayer now. So shall we come before the Lord in prayer? Lord, we come before you, the eternal God, the God who was from everlasting to everlasting. The God, the same before the hills and the mountains and before the world ever came into being. You are always the same, the eternal living Lord. And we want to worship you and bow before you. We are very temporary. We are like the flowers that fade. Our lives are short, even at their longest. But you are never ending and you are unchangeable. And we think of what's said of your Son, which is so encouraging, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as we face changing times in our lives, and as we experience getting older ourselves, we thank you that underneath are the everlasting arms, that the eternal God is our refuge. We thank you that you are a God of steadfast, faithful love, that we're able to contemplate that great is your faithfulness, that your mercies are new every morning, and that your people, those whose trust is in you, are loved from everlasting to everlasting. Lord, help us to take heart and be greatly encouraged by this wonderful, staggering truth of your eternal character. Lord, we do pray that you would be with us in our lives as a church. We remember what Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17. We pray that you would be glorified in our lives and in our church life, that it may reflect your character. That some of the things which she's heard and appreciated here may be with her and encouraging her in her new location. As she seeks to make some links with the church at Bridport, we pray that might be a blessing. And we pray for Irene too, as she misses that friendship in coming days. Lord, we thank you that you are not confined to a locality, but that you are the God who can go with his people wherever they go. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities we have as a church. So many things that happen here on site. We're thankful for those who commit themselves to the different activities. We pray that you would bless them and encourage them in what they do. We think of the number of Bible studies that there are for different age groups and for different collections of people as they start up again, some of them move on to new themes. We pray that those times in your word will be times of bonding, times when people were strengthened in their faith, times when they're equipped for life in this world. And we pray that where those people go to them who as yet do not know the Saviour, then we pray there may be times where people come to know Christ. We thank you for opportunities that there are in the schools. We pray for those who work in schools, in their everyday life and the pressure and the busyness of their staffing responsibilities. Help them in that. We pray for those who have an opportunity to give some Christian input in assemblies. And we remember Mark as he has this opportunity this week. Lord, we pray that youngsters will drink in your word, love your truth while they are young, and it might bear fruit in older years. Lord, as we come together now, we want to humbly come under your word. We thank you for its richness, its life, its relevance. We pray that you might bless us as we have it opened. Help Mark as he speaks to us. We pray for a great blessing on him and on us. And this we ask, seeking your grace and praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we come now to our third song. And it's not been around for centuries, but I think Caleb and Joshua would have approved of it if they'd known of it. It ends so many times. It ends, as you'll see within the verses, I will stand on every promise of your word. I will stand on every promise of your word. And that theme leads us well into what we'll be thinking of together. So shall we stand to sing our third song?
Thank you.
Well, in 2011, Faujas Singh ran the Toronto Waterfront Marathon. And they ran it in 8 hours and 25 minutes. They certainly weren't the fastest on the day, but they were 100 years old. And they were officially the first 100-year-old to run a full marathon. Yuichiro Miura climbed to the top of Everest, aged 80. Not bad going. Nola Oakes became the world's oldest college graduate. She was 95 years old. Barbara Biskind joined a design company in the Silicon Valley, and she was designing products for other elderly people, and she was in her 90s. Well, when most people reach older age, they slow down, don't they? And that's understandable. The body, it grows its aches and its pains, doesn't it? Exhaustion comes much more quickly. Bits of the body break down. But some people are remarkable. And Caleb was like that. He never stopped being a man of action right until old age. But I think what he achieved actually was beyond remarkable, really. I think it was beyond even what we've seen with those others. Last week when we looked at him, he was 40 years old. This week, we've sped through time a little bit, and he's now 85. And he's still going strong. This is what he says in his own words. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me to spy out the land. My strength now is as my strength was then. And what does he want to do? At 85 years old, what does he want to do? He wants to go in and take on enemy giants. That's what he wants to do. He's remembered the promise that God made to him that he would inherit the land. This promised land, or at least some of it. And he's remembered that. And he wants to take his land, take hold of it. But he's had to wait a while. He's had to wait 40 years while they've wandered around in the wilderness. And then he's had to wait a bit longer as they've started the campaign into the promised land. So they've conquered some of it. They've conquered some of the people. But there's still quite a bit of land that hasn't been completely conquered. And some of it's the hill country. And that's where the giants are. And Caleb may be 85. But he wants that hill country. That's the hill country that's been promised to him. And so he speaks to Joshua to ask for it. And I'll just paraphrase verses 6 to 12 now. So Joshua says, you know what God said to Moses about you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses said to spy out the land. And I told him what was in my heart. I said we could take the land. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses promised on that day, saying, that land shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. Look, God has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years. And now I'm 85. I'm still as strong as I was back then. My strength now's as my strength for then, for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which God has promised me. For you heard back then how the giants were there with great fortified cities. But I'm convinced that God will be with me. I shall drive them out just as he said. I just love this picture of this 85-year-old man going up to Joshua and being like, come on, Joshua, give me this land. Let me at them. Let me at these giants. This 85-year-old man. But why has God promised him this piece of land? And why is Caleb so confident that he can take it? Well, pretty simply, because he's followed God wholeheartedly. Caleb has followed God wholeheartedly. In verse 9 and verse 14, it says, God gave him the land because he followed God wholly, or sort of completely. Wholeheartedly. He gave it everything. Didn't mean he was perfect. Caleb wasn't this perfect saint. But he did love God. And he really wanted to obey God. And he was faithful. In Hebrew, don't know whether you know this, but Caleb means dog. Now, Caleb here, I haven't checked why your parents called you Caleb. I'm hoping it's after the Bible name. Not sure. But I don't know what things come to mind when you think of the word dog. It probably depends a bit on who you are. Different thoughts might come to mind. But often we call them a man's best friend, don't we? At their best, they're known for being loyal and devoted. And that's what Caleb is. He is loyal to God. He's devoted to God. Jesus said, the first and greatest commandment is this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. You know, God wants all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our souls. He wants everything about us. Now, I don't normally do this, but I've got a balloon here. And have I got a young person or a child maybe to blow it up for me? So is anyone willing? Do I need to get an adult? Oh, yes. Excellent. Lovely. Thank you very much. There you go. Now, the beautiful thing about these balloons is they're a little bit cheaper because they don't need to use quite as much material in them because they've got holes in them. So it's brilliant. So they're a bit of a bargain at the moment. So, yeah, it's great. So I saved some good money on those. How are we getting on? Oh, you found the holes? Yeah, well, it saves material, so they're cheaper. It's a bit of a struggle, isn't it? Oh, sad times. Don't worry about it. You can give up now. But the point is that a balloon, unless you've got the whole of it, is pointless, isn't it? There's no point having just a bit of a balloon. You need the whole lot if it's going to work. Otherwise, it just won't work. And there's a bit of a sense in the way that it's similar with our hearts in some ways. You know, God wants all of our hearts. It's no good just sort of being half-hearted, just giving God a bit of our heart, thinking that's enough. God wants all of us. The only way we can serve God properly, the only way we can please him is to give all of our hearts to him. You know, all of us this morning are in church, aren't we? And if we're not, we might be watching or at least listening online. But all of us at least are involved in church this morning. And maybe we think that that's good. God will be pleased with me. And then once I get out here, I can sort of crack on with the rest of my week. But God wants all of our hearts, all of the week. That's what God wants. He wants all of our hearts, all of the week. And let me just ask you this question. It's a challenging one. It's a challenging one for every single one of us. Are you following God wholeheartedly? Are you following God wholeheartedly? You know, here's the amazing thing, is that Jesus, when he came down to earth, he gave everything. He loved us wholeheartedly. He left his place in heaven where he was equal with God, and he left that to be with us. Obviously, he was still equal with God, but there's a sense in which he sort of laid that behind. And he came down to be a man on earth and to be a servant and to die on a cross. And he gave everything. Why? So that he could earn a place for us in his kingdom. So that he could rescue us from the kingdom of sin and bring us into the kingdom of life. Jesus did everything for us. So shouldn't the reaction be to give everything to him? Is that not the right reaction? So challenging, isn't it? Caleb followed God wholly, wholeheartedly. And that made a massive difference to how he reacted. To how he reacted to the giants. So in verse 8, you see that the other spies are so scared of the people of the promised land that their hearts melt. That's what happens with their hearts. They melt. But Caleb, it says, completely followed God. You see, there's a contrast there. See, the other spies, that their hearts melt in fear. But Caleb follows God. It's as if Caleb's body and heart is so packed full of God, as it were, that there's no room for anything else. And he knows God is with him. And he doesn't fear the giants because he says the Lord is with us. But everyone else's hearts melted. Well, why did their hearts melt? Well, because their hearts weren't wholehearted towards God. And they had other things in their hearts, and so they had fear in their hearts, and they had doubt in their hearts, and they had their own sort of thoughts and opinions swirling around. And so it's no wonder that they were terrified when they saw these giants, because they had all these things going on. Caleb had courage. And not just against the enemy. You might remember, if you remember from last week, his own people nearly stoned him. He sort of escaped with his life. But he had courage to keep following God. To say, look, let's go and attack the enemy. Now, if we're Christians, we are called to be different. We're called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ in this world. We're called to be salt and light. We're told we should be distinctive. But that can be difficult, can't it? Sometimes the last thing we want to do is say something that means we have to talk about Jesus, or that suddenly makes some difficult questions come flying our way. We don't want to stand out like a sore thumb at work or wherever we are. Maybe we hate the thought of being laughed at, or people making fun of us for being outdated or whatever it is. And it might happen in the playground or in the warehouse as we're putting that last bit of the pallet away, or in the office at lunchtime, or on the mum's WhatsApp group. There might be times where if we're a Christian, if we're following Jesus, we have to stand out. We have to be different. And sometimes that can be really hard. What's going to make the difference for us? What's going to help us in those situations? Well, I believe following God wholeheartedly will make a huge difference to you in those situations. If you follow God wholeheartedly, it will make a huge difference. Remembering that God is with us like he was with Caleb, well, that'll make a difference, won't it? Remembering that he promises to give us the words to speak when we speak for him. That will help us, won't it? Remembering that he honours those who honour him. Remembering that those who suffer for him will also be glorified with him. And as we follow God so wholeheartedly, as he is so on our minds, as we are thinking so much about him, suddenly other things don't seem so big anymore, do they? They don't seem so scary. Now, I've shared this with you, some of you before, but there's a scene in Apollo 13 where Jim Lovell, the astronaut, is lying in his back garden, and he's going to the moon, and he just lies there and he sticks his thumb up like this and he just covers the moon. And then he sort of moves his thumb out of the way and the moon comes back into view, and then he moves his thumb back and it sort of covers the moon again. And of course, it's not because the moon is small, is it? It's just because the moon's a mighty long way away. That's why. If Jim Lovell was to get on the moon and sort of stand there like this, there's no way his thumb would be able to block out the whole moon, because his thumb is tiny in compared to the moon. But it's about perspective, isn't it? And you see, when God is distant, when God is not on our mind at all, when we're not thinking about God and his promises, other things can seem so big and so intimidating and so scary. And yet when we serve God wholeheartedly, when he's on our mind, when we're remembering his promises, when we're holding on to his word, suddenly other things don't seem quite so big today. Because instead of comparing us to them, we compare God to them. Follow God wholeheartedly. Keep your eyes on him. Well, I've got two more points, but the second one is the third one is a short one. So secondly, Caleb endured into old age. Caleb endured into old age. Now, I've never much enjoyed endurance races or events. The biggest one I've done is the London to Brighton off-road event, which for some of you is pretty pathetic. But I enjoyed some of it, at least, not all of it. But they're tough, aren't they? I know some of you have done like 100-kilometre or 100-mile races, which I struggle to understand. But, you know, you can run, say you run 5K 5 kilometres. It could be easy, couldn't it? Think, well, that wasn't actually too bad. I did that okay, just another 19 of them to go. Not too bad at all. But of course, it's not like that, is it? Because over time, it gets harder and harder. Your muscles start aching, the blisters start arriving. You drop energy levels, people drop out. But Caleb has endured 4 decades of wandering around in the wilderness, more than 5 years of campaigning at war in the promised land. He's endured, he's kept going. And in the wilderness, he was surrounded by people that he knew dying of plague because they'd not listened to God. And all that time, of course, when he was in the wilderness, he was thinking, or must have been thinking to some extent, if they'd have listened to me, we could be in this beautiful land already. We could be enjoying the fruit of the promised land already. And instead, we are here in the wilderness. And yet, rather than mope around, rather than get frustrated, rather than just give up with God, no, instead, he endures. He keeps going. He keeps his mind on God. He keeps God's words. He keeps going. He's faithful. He helps Joshua conquer the land. He may be 85, but he's got this glint in his eye. And he's got this vigor about him that is remarkable. What has kept him going? God's word. In just 2 verses, verses 10 and then verse 12, he talks about what God has said 4 times. 4 times he sort of says, this is what God said. That's been his anchor all the way through. It's like that's been his sort of petrol that's kept his engine going all that time. He was trusting God's words with his life, and that kept him going. Isaiah hadn't been written by this point, but he's a kind of example of what Isaiah says in Isaiah 40. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, Caleb endured not because he was some sort of freak of nature, but because God gave him this strength and he had this hope that drove him on and that empowered him. And so at 85 years old, he heads up these hills to face the giants. And in Joshua 15, we get the very short account of the battle. There's very little detail. So Joshua 15, verse 14. And Caleb drove out from there the 3 sons of Anak, Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai, the descendants of Anak. Apologies for the pronunciation. But he drives out these 3 mighty warriors. This 85-year-old warrior leading the charge against these 3 mighty warriors. And he drives them out and he takes possession of the land which God has promised him. Caleb proves what he said 45 years earlier when he said, we can surely overcome them. And now at 85, he proves, yes, we can. You know, in the Christian life, we need endurance. The Christian life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. We need to keep going if we're going to hear God say at the end, well done, good and faithful servant. Paul says in the New Testament, he says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Let us not grow weary of doing good. Now, Paul knew what it was to grow older and weaker as well. The amount that he went through, his body grew weaker. This is what he says. He says, so we do not lose heart. And then listen to this. Though our outer self, our body is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Paul's like, yeah, maybe my body is going to bits. But inside I'm being renewed every single day. And why is that? He says, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Paul's body is wasting away. Maybe you feel a sense of your body growing older and weaker, maybe. But inside, he's being renewed every day as he thinks about glory, as he thinks about eternity, as he looks to the things that you can't see, but he knows are there. You see, Paul was holding on to the word of God, to what God promised him about eternity, about glory, and it keeps his energy levels up, and it keeps his vigor up, and it keeps that sparkle in his eye, because he knows what he's got to look forward to. And I'm so thankful for so many people here who, throughout the decades, have got to the end of the Christian life, endured to the end, not just sort of falling over the line, but with enthusiasm. That they've gone well into glory. They've had that sparkle in their eye, even at the last, because of that hope that they have. People who have clung on to the promises of God. I mentioned Betty last week, but wasn't she such an example of this? We heard at a funeral that when she prayed, she was vulnerable. She broke so many of her vertebrae, and yet when she prayed, she became visibly strong. I want to encourage all those of you who are in your older years to keep going, to keep following Jesus if you are. Maybe if you don't know Jesus, I plead with you to follow him as your Lord and Saviour. But for those who do know him, keep going. Don't kind of flick off your slippers and retire from the Christian life. So just let other people carry on living as Christians. I want to encourage you to keep going. Of course, it may be that you have to lay down other responsibilities. Many do, you know, especially those who shoulder big responsibilities. There comes a time when it's right to lay those down. But please keep living for Jesus. Please keep being examples to those of us who are younger. And I want to encourage you, really, please keep praying as well. You know, praying, so often it looks so feeble, doesn't it? Maybe at our prayer meetings, maybe you've thought this, it just looks a little bit feeble. And especially if you see an older person praying, it doesn't look like much, does it? People aren't looking at that going, wow. And yet I am convinced that the reason why there is so much, or has been so much fruit over the years, is because of older, faithful prayer warriors praying away. Fighting away. Maybe not physically, but praying, still serving God, going strong to the end. And I'm so aware as well that there's a good number of you who are at that sort of older age and you're not quite yet ready to sort of put things down, but you're feeling age a bit more. Things are impacting you a bit more. And you serve in so many different ways and maybe hours and hours behind the scenes that other people don't see week after week. And you do it because you love God and you love his people. And I just want to encourage you to keep doing that. Not because it helps us out, although it is lovely for us as a church that you do that, but because of the reward waiting for you, because of the inheritance that is promised for those of you who endure to the end. Keep going. That's what Caleb did right to the end. He was a man of action. And I want to encourage you to keep going, those of you who are in your older years. But lastly, and just very briefly, Caleb inspired the next generation. Caleb inspired the next generation. Well, this week we've been thinking a little bit more about the older generation. And God willing, next week, the plan is actually to think about the younger generation a bit more, about our youth ministry and children's work and maybe a bit of why we do it and how we do it and why that's important. But we actually get a little bit of a taste of it here. It kind of leads us on quite well to that, I think. So next week, we won't be looking in the story of Caleb. It will be a bit of a separate one, but we'll be thinking about the next generation. But we do see a bit of that here, because the next generation has grown up. So all of Caleb's peers, all the people that are around him have died. The next generation has grown up. And what have they seen? As they've been living in the wilderness, as they've been fighting as well, and sort of starting to take over the promised land. What have they seen all the time? Caleb. Caleb's been there the whole time. He's been the constant that is always there. The faith-filled man of God. The man who shows them every single day what it looks like to live the life of a Christian, or sort of an Old Testament Christian. And regularly proving how good and how powerful God is. That is what Caleb is doing. And we see him blessing his daughter in Joshua 15. We see him blessing his daughter by giving her some of these springs, this beautiful part of the land. And that's part of his inheritance as well, that he gets to bless the next generation by giving them part of this beautiful land. But we also see Othniel. And he asked for a volunteer to capture a fortified city. And instead of all their hearts melting again, Othniel volunteers. He steps up and he captures this city and he shows courage. And later, Othniel becomes the first judge and he rescues his people from an oppressive army and he brings them peace. And what you see is how Caleb has inspired Othniel to be a man of courage, to be a man who leads his people to victory, to be a man of faith. You see how Caleb has influenced Othniel. And so for those of you who are older, how are you influencing the generations below you? What legacy are you leaving for them to follow? Are you living in a way that shows that you love and trust in Jesus? And of course, like Caleb, none of us are perfect. That's not what we're, well, expected to be in some ways. But do you love Jesus? Do you live your life seeking to trust him? And for those of us who are younger, who are the Christians that you look up to? Who are those that you can see are enduring? Think about them. Think about how you can be like them. How you can imitate them. Well, I'm just going to give a few moments of silence just to think about those things, and then we'll sing. Well, let's sing our last song. I chose it particularly for the second verse. This is a verse of a Christian who's been victorious. My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who walks beside, who floods my weaknesses with strength and causes fear to fly, whose every promise is enough for every step I take, sustaining me with arms of love and crowning me with grace. So when the music starts, let's stand and let's sing together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Caleb, for his wholehearted following of you. But we thank you especially for the way you empowered him and strengthened him and gave him the victory. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we seek to serve you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to love you. Lord, help us to serve you, help us to follow you. And I pray that you would help us to endure to the end through your power and your strength. Lord, to endure to the end, help us to keep our eyes on glory. Help us to keep going. May we bring great glory to you, and may we be a great influence for the next generations. And Lord, for anyone who doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that you'd reveal yourself to them, that they too may know the glory that you have provided for them. Lord, we pray these things in your name. And do keep us safe as we go away from this place. Be with us, I pray, and bring us back together safely, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.